I have a feeling I know how this show's gonna go.
Oh.
And I'm not happy with it.
Kirk, we haven't even started yet. How can you not be happy with it?
Not yet.
We're starting right now.
Yeah.
Episode 21. All right. We're going right now.
21?
Yeah, those are the two. Of the two episodes we watched today together, yes.
Okay, 21.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to NYPD Blue Balls, Season 1, Episode 21, Guns and Rosaries. That sound of a beverage cracking open was special guest Papa Asher.
Hello.
And, of course, Kyle's here.
Hello.
And we're talking about the second to the last episode of NYPD Blue's first season, Guns and Rosaries, which is a good play on Guns and Roses.
Oh, is that what they did?
Yeah, that's what they did. It's pretty shocking. It's good. It's solid humor. This one opens up with Medavoy coming in his normal anxious state, basically saying, my wife cheated on me. I should have known all this time.
No, he caught his wife fucking another guy.
Yeah.
He didn't, like, think it.
But no, he says, like, I should have known all this time, and he starts giving his own excuses.
I think he says, I caught my wife with her legs in the air.
Yeah.
And he tells this directly to Abadondo, which of course means he wants to get back to that Abadondo as soon as possible.
And
really, I didn't think that's what that meant.
Well, why else would he go to her first? To vent these frustrations.
He's vented these frustrations before.
Yeah, to Abadondo.
Because she's his friend.
Because she's, his extracurricular friend.
Friend is a friend.
What about during... I don't know if you weren't watching along with us. They had that spat where he's like, oh, I don't think I'm in love with my wife anymore. I just left her. Then he boned Abadondo, and then the next day, after like three calls from his kids, he's back with his wife.
It's complicated.
It's complicated. Just like that movie. It's complicated.
Well, I got that part. I understood why he went back with his wife, because he did it for his kids.
The things a parent will do for their children is pretty much endless.
Why did this turn into Dr. Phil, guys? So, Medavoy goes down with Martinez because they have to pick up somebody to go to court. And Medavoy gets into a little bit of a shouting match with a black gentleman in the car next to him.
Yeah.
The guy pulls out a gun and Martinez shoots him.
Yeah.
Okay. It's also kind of an interesting parallel to our timeline, considering all of the shooting controversies that we're dealing
with. That's exactly what I thought.
Well, please enlighten us, Dad.
There's nothing to enlighten. I just thought the same thing. Pretty interesting in light of everything that's happening going on right now.
But of course, this show was made back in the 90s when cops were seen in a much more positive light. So they're actually...
How do you know that?
How do I know that? Because I remember when I was that young.
So 1990, you were...
Well, it wasn't 1990. It was 1994.
You were what, seven?
1994?
Yeah.
I was five.
Oh, so you're pretty much in touch with how the police were being thought of.
The shooting was also kind of brought up, brings our time into it, when after he got shot, everyone on the street lied.
Yeah, everybody lied.
That they saw that he shot first. It kind of makes you wonder, you know? But I mean...
You know why they lied?
Why did they lie?
They lied because at that time they held police in really high regard.
That wasn't the point. They were in a slightly bad neighborhood. Also, it was a Puerto Rican cop, and there was hints that there were some racial unrest in that neighborhood. And Kyle, I don't know what you were saying. You kind of cut off there. I don't know if we interrupted you. If so, I apologize, at least.
No, I stopped. I was just talking about how with videotape you can't really, you know, argue that, but how some people did, like, some people would lie in a situation like that. Because they don't like cops, you know what I mean?
Also, during the canvassing, where the cops go and ask people around, LaKelsey seems to just want to fight large black men.
Yeah. This is when LaKelsey used to go, oh, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, right?
Yeah, she intentionally puts herself in danger, and John, who doesn't ever seem that tough, he basically just runs and jumps on a black dude and pushes him into the trash. which is kind of like the least boss thing you could do. Like, yeah, well, here, get in the trash, and like pushed him into the trash. That's pretty sad. Not a very Batman move.
Well, I've always said Kurt Caruso's the ginger Batman.
Well, no.
He's the ginger knight.
David Caruso's like Aquaman of this Justice League.
Gay and useless?
We're not on a story yet, but I think it's important to mention there are a bunch of famous faces in here. In this episode, we got Steven Root, best known as the Swingline Stapler guy from Office Space, even though he's been in a ton of stuff. There's also Dean Norris, who plays the priest, who was...
Hank on Breaking Bad.
Hank on Breaking Bad. And I told Dad, and I think we mentioned it on this show before, it sucks that Caruso left, because it was clear that he may have been a recurring on NYPD Blue if Caruso didn't bail on him.
Yeah, I could see that, especially with the, jumping ahead to the second season with the Kelsey's. She's kind of important in the beginning.
Yeah, she has that big-ass trial.
Yeah, I just didn't want to give it away, but she has a trial. So, I feel like he would have been prominent and, like, talking. Like, they'd have, like, scenes with him and her talking and her confessing and shit, all that, you know, dramatic garbage. But it was worth it because you get Simone, so...
When it comes to the wrongful or possibly right shooting storyline, basically the entire arc is they're trying to investigate whether or not it's a righteous shooting because they can't find the gun, which turns out a guy picked up, and they didn't know if the guy was high or not, and it turns out he was. So it's kind of just a long way around vindicating James for shooting.
Yeah, but see, in my younger days...
Uh-huh.
This is gonna be rich.
I have experienced people that were high on cocaine.
You've experienced people that were high on cocaine.
They didn't act like that.
They didn't call people...
Cocaine does different things to you, to different people.
Driving up and waving a gun in somebody's face for no reason? That never happened.
But can I say something? When you were in the presence of these cocaine users, it probably wasn't... You guys probably were middle class, white, and weren't really struggling to survive. If you could be affording cocaine, like, just to party, I'm assuming. Because I don't see you and your group of friends just getting cocaine for a Thursday night because you're bored. There's probably a party involved. So, you guys, it's a different mindset.
But that, what I'm saying is, from what they told me...
From what they told you.
Man, from what they told you, they probably weren't angry. They probably weren't...
That wasn't the emotion that was achieved out of being high on cocaine.
Well, there was a scene with John Kelly and the gentleman...
Everyone's just ignoring the fact. I'm spitting knowledge here, and everyone's ignoring it.
No...
It had nothing to do with my economic or their economic situation or what night of the week it was.
Haven't you listened to Bernie? It's all about the economic
situation. That's weird.
The other story that's going on in the middle of this episode.
Yes.
Lukowski is apparently breaking apart.
Lukowski is just a psycho bitch, right?
Thank you.
You both agree that she's just crazy.
And
if your like first thing that comes to your head is like, oh, I love this man, I'm gonna shoot two guys instead of just going to the police and being like, look, I fucked up, but I can get you inside this guy's ring. And we'll all be good. Your first idea is like, oh, I'm going to go shoot this guy instead of dealing with my problem in a better way. You're fucking crazy.
But Kyle, they'll expose her dad. Her dad took money from those mobsters, so she can't do it.
He got exposed anyways.
That's true. And he ended up killing himself. Really, she has no reason to not say something. It's true. But the point I'm making is this. She's a terrible actress. No offense to Amy Brenneman, I believe her name is. I don't think she's a good actress because she has to deliver these hard, like, drama-filled scenes with Dean Norris and with David Caruso. where she says things like, I'm coming apart, I just can't handle it. But I don't really feel her acting at all. You know what I mean? Like when Sipowicz hits at it, or when Sharon Lawrence, Sylvia Costas hits at it, like, you feel like, oh, this is a really good dramatic scene. Both guys are playing well. But when it's her talking in the scene, you're like, ah, yeah, you're really killing it.
Well, you can definitely see it with Dean Norris. Caruso, not so much. He's not that great of an actor. But
Dean Norris is
pretty good.
She has a meeting with a priest where she basically says, I killed these men and I got away with it. And then Dean Norris basically says, you gotta do what feels right by you. So she confesses.
Yeah, but she goes to Fancy, which is weird. Like, well, that's a, she never, like, worked with him, really. Like, he was never her boss. They just knew each other in passing, so why choose him out of everybody to confess to?
That is a good question. She's working in intelligence at the time. Why would she go to Fancy?
Oh, you're intelligence boss. Why are you telling the boss of the detective squad that you don't work for?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question. Any thoughts?
Because it works for the television show.
Yeah, yeah, that's the only reason why. It just in real life doesn't make sense. It's stupid.
It also makes absolutely zero sense that she wants no lawyer. Not because she said, I don't want to lie about what I did. I just want to admit to it and I want it to be over.
Kirk, she's going through like a spiritual awakening of wanting to be clean and wanting of this murder and everything that she's done. And so she's confessing everything.
Now, that might be true. However, sometimes a lawyer isn't just there to help you deny. They're there to help you do, like, all the paperwork and
the
shit.
The lawyer stuff.
Like, yeah.
Well, that's what goes to Dad's point that she's crazy, because, like, Ted Kaczynski represented himself. He didn't want a lawyer. He was crazy. So.
So there.
Apples to apples.
Good analogy.
But Ted Kaczynski also murdered several people, didn't he? Wasn't he?
So, she killed two.
In a fit of passion, Kyle. It was what needed to be done. While they're investigating the James Martinez stuff, they get annoyed by another famous face, Bradley Whitford, of Billy Madison fame, who, at one point, Sipowicz delivers a line to him because he's trying to fish for information on the case. And Sipowicz says, we heard some reporter called a low-life asshole turd pimp with the brains of a flea and the balls of a moth. But we haven't nailed down yet who that's referred to. Sipowicz being the best. Just nailing it. But there is another scene that I want to talk about.
Let's talk about it.
Bradley Whitford, he finds out that the gun had no bullets in it.
And how does he find that out?
He hits the street, I guess. Okay. But the point...
It's pretty hard.
But the point he's trying to make is... If the gun had no bullets in it, then the cop shot him for no reason.
His argument is bad.
I also feel like anybody who has any kind of logical reasoning would see how that's a bad... Like, the dumbest thing in the world.
Well, he's also an idiot because... If he's a reporter, he should know that cops are trained to shoot if someone raises a weapon in front of them.
But he was
especially
using it
in a fit of rage.
He was using it for leverage.
He was using it for leverage to try to get something better.
Yes,
true. But when you use that as leverage, and then the cop goes, "Hey, can I talk to you upstairs?" I would assume this guy wants to kick my ass or prove a point. Because I guess I'm smarter than Bradley Whitford's character.
And he did prove a point when he took him upstairs.
And kind of kicked his ass because he
and
roughed
him
around.
Put a gun in his face and said, hey.
Can you tell the difference?
I thought it was a great point.
It is a great point. But I feel like in today's society, I think, well, maybe not everybody. I think we're smarter enough.
Smarter enough.
Now to see that.
I think we're smarter enough.
Well, I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm here with such a revered mathematician comedian. I'll choose my words carefully around him.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The point I'm making is...
What is the point?
I think people would be smart enough now to not
that's
use...
That's a good question.
I think people would be smart enough now to know that that's not a point you can make. He doesn't...
I think people, when this was made, were smart enough to know that that wasn't a good point.
Oh, no, that's not true.
You can't go around waving a gun, loaded or unloaded at a cop and not expect to get shot back.
Mm. And you can't get into a crazy argument with and then raise a gun to a cop and not expect them to shoot back because they're automatically thinking, oh shit, this guy's pissed at me.
And he didn't know he was a cop to start with.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know.
Another part of this episode, because in the last episode, if you were with us, Sipowicz had a falling out with Costas.
Mm-hmm.
And he is trying to get into her good graces, but...
That's not the only place he's trying to get.
Anyway, he's trying to also better himself, so he tries to go to an AA meeting.
So he goes to the AA meeting. What happens then?
He notices a guy there, but it's not clear what's going on. Because you can tell that he's upset with the speaker, and the speaker tells a story about a cop who got him off, but you don't know the full story. He kind of lays it out, but you're not 100% sure. And it turns out that guy goes to visit Sipowicz at his place of work and make amends.
But you have to remember, at the AA meeting, Sipowicz gives that, like, dad look.
Hold on. I don't think he means dad as in... trademark your look. I think what he means is a dad disappointed
look.
Look
of like who the fuck, like this fucking guy, that look. Give, like this fucking guy, like this guy's here. Like what's this guy doing here?
Like if
I'm
you,
not,
yeah,
be here. This guy's got to be here.
Throughout the episode, you get the idea that Sipowicz wants to go to meetings, but he's really cagey about the idea because he calls and asks for one, and he's making up all these excuses why he can't go. Smoking, non-smoking, crosstown traffic.
I think he's embarrassed.
He's embarrassed to go?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's not in this one. I think it's the second one. It is the second one. He gets very uptight when he learns that Sylvia talks about their problems to other people.
Yeah.
He is a very proud individual, even though he has not much to be super proud of.
Wow.
He's a great detective, and no one's going to take that away from him. And a good guy at his core. But when... You sit down and think about Sipowicz at this point in the story. Like, he lost his family. He's trying to get back in good with them. But he's barely kept onto his job because of his drinking. So, when he's like, you're talking about people about our problems? Like, who cares?
Well, no.
You know what I mean?
He doesn't want people to know his problems.
But he comes from that era.
Yeah, where you don't talk about your problems. He says that line, you gotta carry your own water, in the next episode.
He's a stand-up guy, man. He doesn't need anybody to know what's going on.
But Dad's right, though. He's embarrassed. He doesn't want people to know that he failed, too. He was really proud of doing it on his own, and then he had one drink and failed. I think that was hard for him.
But the important part of that little mini-arc in this episode is that guy who... It turns out Sipowicz gave him a shot. Because Sipowicz isn't a monster, we've learned in the show. Like, he has leeway... Where, like, he thinks, okay, this guy got wrapped up in something, I'll
Depends
give him...
Depends on your skin color.
Kyle's convinced Sipowicz is racist.
He's not a racist.
And, of course...
He's monsterish towards certain people.
And another thing I wrote down here, another Sipowicz quote, after all the meetings are laid out, Lukowski comes out, and then they say, yeah, she's just admitted to killing Angela Marino in his car. Sipowicz has a couple lines... One was, I never believed that Alfonso Girardella pussy actually killed him. I think I butchered the line, because I can't believe that. I never believed that pussy Alfonso Girardella killed him. And the other line was, she needs justice, she came to the right system. Because he knows just as well as anybody, the nice people just get screwed. Like, the assholes are the ones that gets off. So
I took it the other way.
Yeah, he was being very sarcastic.
I took it as him saying, like, oh, like, he was basically like, well, she murdered him, she came here, she has a chance of getting off. Like, I think she can get out of this one. Like,
maybe.
So, kind of on a deeper level.
Deeper levels. We're going deep.
Oh, God.
What are we going with?
So, I wrote down that the con who was leading the... AA meeting, and Sipowicz, when they went into the break room and they were talking amongst each other, really not that different.
No.
Deep down, they're kind of the same people, except one's on the...
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
You know? A couple of different choices, and either one could have been where the other one is.
It's just it wasn't a different drugs too. Sibwich was alcohol. This was like hard drugs.
The guy said that he started with booze, and then when booze wasn't working, he tapered off booze to use cocaine and heroin.
Okay.
So it's basically he comes from the they all do. It's the idea of addiction. It's not the substance. It's that you have an addictive personality.
Addictive personality.
But the point you were making at that end scene, there's a moment where, because this is another thing that shows Dennis Franz is just a great actor. Because Dennis Franz, as soon as he's talking to this guy, is like, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear your shit. I don't want to hear about how you changed and now how suddenly you're a great guy because you fucked me over once. And the guy apologizes and he still gets no, as Sipowicz would say, he gets no rhythm from Sipowicz. So then the guy says, hey, he says two things that are important. He says, I just want to let you know, at the end of every meeting, we say a small meditation for the addict who still suffers. And I had a good thought about you. Because he knows, this guy didn't come into a meeting for no reason. And he saw me and I turned him off, and that's not something I should have done. He
probably doesn't want that on him, you know what I mean?
And he also doesn't want that guy to swear off all meetings. So he says, hey, I had a good thought for you. And then Sibwa says, I might try another one. And he says, right after that, they have them all the time, man. Kind of like a, dude, like...
Don't give up.
Not only don't give up, but I'm not going to be at all of them. If you have a problem with me forever, that's fine. As long as you get to a place where you can go to those meetings and talk it out, I don't care. Which is a really cool thing. Because that was Sipowicz also crossing the barrier between police officer and criminal. Because a lot of times, there's a, like, to him, there's like a space where it's like, I'm the guy that does the law and order, you're just a skill, as he would say. But here, he's like, here's a guy who's being honest with me, and we just both want to be better people.
Okay. So during the thing, you said, see, this is what people don't get. Sometimes things just have to go ungood for a while.
When did I say that? Just now?
No, on the couch when we were watching the show.
Oh, that's referring to... because in this episode, James and Medavoy are in an interesting situation because they have to go to psych services and they also have to be interviewed by IAB. Which, as if you guys don't know, that's the Rat Squad.
Yeah, IAB gets a whole lot of...
They get
crap every time they show up.
Until we get later seasons of Martens.
They're cops ratting out cops. You don't do that.
But they're not ratting out cops.
Yeah, they are. Their job is to...
They're investigating to see what happened. If the cop has done wrong...
They don't see it that way. You can't.
Yeah, but then if they do wrong, they have to prosecute them, and you don't do that. That's not why you become a cop. You become a cop to get the real bad guys.
But if you're not doing things right, then you have to. Could you imagine unchecked? Police unchecked? What would happen?
They're unchecked now.
It's kind
of true. The Department of Justice just came out and said the Baltimore PD's a shit show. None of those guys that murdered that kid in the van did got charged. They're unchecked now. No one stops them.
Anyway, my point about Martinez and Medavoy, and it was a justified shoot, so they're cool. Martinez and Medavoy go to psych services, and they go over their story because Medavoy didn't see the gun.
Yes.
And there's an important... think about that, because I've said there's a constant theme that cops in this show will protect each other.
Yes.
And hunt for dudes that have hurt cops harder than they would regularly do their jobs.
Okay.
It was important with this one because Martinez, he's kind of a new detective. He got detective like halfway through this season. He's not on the job very long. And he just shot and killed somebody. And now he's finding out that his partner, who he saved, he didn't even know that the guy had a gun. And now he's going to lie for him. So now he's dealing with all this complex shit. And they keep coming back and they don't have the medical report. And they don't have this and that. And what I said, you just have to let things be ungood for a while. What I was trying to say was, he's going to feel bad regardless. And that's what Sipowicz was saying when he told his story. Which is another thing I want to ask. Because Sipowicz tells a story to Martinez. Hey, man, I busted in on a scene. It was an armed robbery. The guy had killed the manager. And the manager's on the floor. And he has the clerk opening up the drawer. And he's like, so he's going to kill the girl? He's like, as soon as she gets the drawer open. He's like, I walk in hungover getting a cup of coffee. and the guy pulls his piece on me, and I shot him. He couldn't ask for a cleaner shoot. He's like, you know what I did for 3 days? And he looks over at Kelly, and he winks, and he says, I threw up for 3 days. The point he was making was, it's not going to get any better until you just work through it and live through it. Like, there's no magical saying that's going to make it better. It's just, you got to live the days and then get through it. But the question I had is, does that mean he was lying?
Yes.
He did not throw up for 3 days.
No.
No. I think it bugged him.
He was trying to make he was trying to make Martinez feel better.
Okay, so then, is Sipowicz just that stone cold?
No. I think it bothered him. I think he did that, and he over-exaggerated himself throwing up.
Yes.
But I think he let it
I agree
sit
with
there
what he says
for a while.
All right. He went through it. He knows what it's like to go through it. Maybe he threw up once.
He was bothered for 3 days, but he may not have been.
But he knows. You know. I mean, he's trying to do the thing that he does, which is support his co-cops.
Caruso's really pissed with the priest.
Yeah. Which I felt he has no right to be. But I might be wrong.
Well,
oh, no,
he sent her to the priest for her a place to vent, and the next thing he knows, she is turning herself in.
Which would be her decision, though.
But you could see how he could put that anger, that blame on the... He only wanted to give her an opportunity to vent.
He sent him to the priest thinking the priest was going to be his friend and not his priest, and then the priest did his job instead of being his friend. And
that's
so
really
that's
good.
Kelly
I like what you
pissed.
Said there. That's really good.
You have somebody who agrees with you here.
He expected him to be his friend, and he was a priest instead.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
But because I think it goes to how she was reacting. Like, he could tell, like, something bad was really going on. It wasn't something, like, easy to talk about, and so I think he turned one into priest mode, and
priest
that
mode.
Was it.
So, like, Kelly gets all, you know, pissed off, but then at some point they say, well, we'll just agree to disagree.
That's the next episode.
Yeah, that is the next episode, but,
oh,
yeah,
got confused. Sorry.
They agree to disagree. But that's so they could play basketball with each other. And the guy that was
well,
in the
you can't
original...
be that pissed off in 1 second and the next second going, oh, that's cool.
Well, he's also.
We'll get to it, but I also think as the trial goes on, Kelly realizes that she did the right thing because she was going to go crazy if she didn't.
Like, I've never killed.
She's already crazy.
But, like,
crazier.
Is what I'm saying.
She's not, you know, it's not a trip to get crazy.
It's not a trip to get crazy.
Not for her.
Well, we're at the end of the episode. Is there anything we want to talk about or mention before we get off?
No.
Anything in the notes?
Hats and bats.
That's right. That was a cool line. We're about to go to hats and bats here. And then a couple minutes later, they bring out the wagons with the hats and the bats.
I'd never heard that before. I probably heard it when the first time I saw the show, but I don't think I've ever heard it
since
used like that, yeah.
I'm probably going to read more about that in the book, True Blue. Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com or anywhere you find podcasts under NYPD Blue Balls. I'm Kirk. Papa Asher's here. And he's not saying anything.
Well, I'm here. You're right. I am here.
And Kyle's here. Yeah, and
it's real fun having to say that you're alive every 20 minutes on a podcast. So.
It's to remind everybody what voice... Do you guys not know how this works? They can't see us.
How's this work?
So you have to say your name and in the voices so that they know whose voice is whose, so they don't get confused. And also, we probably...
To each his own on that one. To each his own on that one, because I still believe that no one's jumping in on Guns and Rosaries of NYPD Blue if they're not listening to the first one.
Every podcast can be someone's first.
I don't have to say I'm here. If I start talking and they're obviously from 1 to 21 are going to go, oh, that's Kyle's voice. That I totally get.
I said where you can go to listen to the episodes.
You did. And then you said you were here and that I was here.
I'm here.
And then Kyle said he was here, but he wasn't going to say so.
All right. Have a good week. Watch more NYPD Blue. There's no petition or anything out, but let's hope NYPD Blue ends up on a streaming service soon so it's easy to watch.
Oh, God, it's so hard to watch.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, it's hard to find a place to watch it.
Yeah.
For me, I don't have the discs. I'm not going to start buying them.
So
Amazon took it down. It's just hard.
Yeah, Amazon, you screwed up.